Berg, how you been, man?
I'm doing great, Bill. I'm just great.
What is the buzz coming from Noel Camp right now? Willie Taggart's first spring.
I think the biggest buzz is the fact that players are loving playing football again. We hear all about a new vibe, a new day, a new energy. Every player we've interviewed before we do the interviews before practice now, not after, but everybody we interview before practice has really said the same thing, that they're back to loving football again and having fun and being with their teammates and all this. And, you know, now the big question is this going to correlate to wins? Because it doesn't matter how much fun you have out on the field. If you're not winning, what does it matter? So, but that's it right now. I mean, we're not going to know until the fall on that. So it's good to see them having fun. It's good to hear that they're enjoying themselves. And it seems like they're working hard. It seems like things are going well so far. Injuries haven't hit the team too hard. And today is going to be the second day in pads. So we're still kind of early in spring.
It was, and this has been repeated a lot, but it was last year, particularly once we got into the season and everything was going south. It was a really sour atmosphere, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we talked about it even last week.
Yeah.
When I said that, you know, the week of the Alabama game, things tightened up, and when Jimbo started picking the fight with the media and closing practice, and it wasn't just to the outside. I mean, it was to the inside too. I think things became very robotic and very job-like within the Moore Center, not just with the players, but the coaching staff too. And this isn't something that happened throughout Jimbo's tenure. I mean, when he first got there, the first 3-4 years, he was the one bringing the energy to the field, and he was the one setting the tone for the team. I think, you know, we've gone over this, but I think things changed the last 2 years, and whatever happened, happened. But it's definitely a new day in Tallahassee right now, and the players really do seem to be enjoying themselves.
Yeah, there's new energy. What about coach for coach? Is this, and let's forget the head coach, but just assistant coaches, is this group better than their predecessors?
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. And I'm not even going to say, are they better individually? I just think just the chemistry of this staff is better. And you got to, like, I'm not going to knock any one coach on that staff, but look, when you got a defense that should be a top five, top 10 defense year in, year out, even in a down year, you got them coached by, I mean, look at the age on the defensive side of the ball last year. You got to factor this in, but they had, one African-American coach on the defensive side of the ball, whereas when they haven't had a white contributor on defense really since Bjorn Warner left in 2012. I'm not being sarcastic. They have not had one, a white contributor on defense in that long. And I think that you got to have coaches that can relate to those players. And the chemistry wasn't there for whatever reason. The hires didn't really work out with Bill Miller and Charles Kelly and Brad Lawing. I mean, all of them are in their 50s or older. Bill Miller might have been 90. I don't know. We got to check a birth certificate. But, you know, it just wasn't working, man. And you could tell when the players would talk. I mean, the players had a lot of respect for these coaches, don't get me wrong. And I think, to a man, I think they all love Charles Kelly, who was running the defense, as a person. But it just wasn't working out on the field, and changes need to be made. And I don't think Jimbo Fisher was going to make those changes. So, things worked out the way they should. Let's just put it that way.
Coach Brew, Randy Sanders, all those guys. How about that?
Yeah, and that was on the offensive side of the ball. But,
right,
you know, really on the defensive side, yeah. I don't think the coaching chemistry was right.
Josh Newberg with us, 24/7 Sports, and the Big Three roll up. We're talking Florida State football. So give me let's play the game we do typically. We got Miami. We've got Florida State. We got Florida. The Cosby Cattleman, you don't know him. He'll call in here in a little bit. He loves Lane Kiffin. So FIU, you just name the whole UCF. Everybody's just happy down there. Who's having the best spring? Let's measure spring practice.
That's interesting. Well, yeah. I think the most fun is being had at Florida and Florida State. Miami's coming off of a great season, so I'm sure they got a lot of great things going. But with the new coaching changes, I mean, you know, there's some ridiculous things being said out there about FSU and UF and what Mullen's going to do and what Taggart's going to do. And, you know, if you read Knowles 24/7, you think there's probably a good chance FSU's going 15-0 right now. But the way as much fun as they're having, man, the best spring. That's a tough one. I think there's a QB battles brewing all over the place. Really, right. Bill, this is right. Interesting. You got Malik Rozier trying to hold on to his spot. You don't know what the heck's going on in Gainesville because you saw Felipe Franks last year. You brought in Emory Jones. Is he going to be a freshman sensation? I don't know about that. And then at Florida State, you really don't have a true QB battle going on right now because DeAndre Francois is so limited. And with the pads coming on, I bet he's going to be even more limited because he did throw quite a bit in the first couple practices without pads, but I wonder how much action he'll see when the pads go on.
We were talking, at least by reading it, and I'm not down there, but it sounds like there's a lot of positive spin out there about Felipe Franks right now. You think that's legit? Huh?
Yeah.
You being the skeptic?
There's always been positive spin every offseason. Do I think it's legit? Yeah, I don't know. He really struck, you know, there was a lot of hope in that he was going to come in and be the guy last year, and he really fizzled out. So is that Felipe Franks, or is there going to be new Felipe Franks that emerges after a little bit more experience? I don't know. I think it's one of those things where you don't know until the lights come on. It's hard to judge.
Is Miami going to be better this year than they were?
I don't think so. I think they returned a lot of talent on offense, but they still don't have a true quarterback that's emerged. I think fans believe they were going to have somebody come in and replace Malik Rozier, but it doesn't look like that. Talking to Andrew Ivins of Inside the U, he was on the podcast last week, and you know, he really thinks Malik Rozier is going to end up winning this job. I held out a little bit of hope that Cade Weldon was going to be the guy, and I just had a feeling that he was going to emerge after the spring as the lead candidate to get that job. We'll see. Malik's saying all the right things. He's certainly a leader. It's just that I think that he's limited physically to what he can bring to that team.
Who's having the best recruiting year so far between the big three?
Well, Florida State's putting them in position to make a run here in the summer. They're getting a lot of guys on campus. But right now, I'd say Miami. They're doing a really good job locally and also in the Jacksonville area. They've done a good job of getting kids on campus during spring break. Who doesn't want to go down to Miami for spring break? So right. They've capitalized on that for sure. And they just use the momentum of their season. That's what winning does. So I think right now I'd probably hand it to Miami.
KKL, you know who that is, right? Do you still block
her?
No,
I don't think. You know, ever since she became a Texas A&M fan, she doesn't really bother me. I don't even think she follows me on Twitter anymore.
She says, Florida State spring practice like Woodstock, peace, love, and rock and roll. Would that be appropriate? Is that right?
Sure, yeah. A little bit more hip-hop than rock and roll, but there is certainly some rock and roll out there.
So are you suggesting that she's gone full-fledged Aggie?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's what – isn't that what happened? Wasn't that part of the deal? The $75 million plus KKL?
Yep. You know what? It is in the fine print. You're right.
Yeah. She hasn't tweeted me in ages. So, I mean, I just assumed she was a Texas, you know, pulled up into Taylor Ham's mentions, not mine anymore.
She'll tweet you once A&M starts winning big under Jimbo.
Oh, yeah? When's that?
She'll start rubbing it in on you when they're winning real big. You think? Let me ask you this. With Jimbo, do you think he's going to turn that thing around at A&M?
No.
You don't?
No. I mean, if you're doing that job right, you're finishing fourth in the SEC every year. That's, if you call that a turnaround, then, you know, you can call it a turnaround. But I think there's a ceiling on what that job is going to be for him. And, man, I've said it on here before, but I don't see the same passion that I saw when he arrived at FSU for his first game in 2010. If I saw that, Jimbo, I would tell you that, yes, you know, the sky is the limit, because I really believe it. When Jimbo's on and he's into it and he's coaching for whatever was motivating him back in 2010 to 2014, if he can find that, then I'll be a believer. But I see him, I hear him talk. It's the same stuff that I've been hearing the last couple, 2-3 years here in Tallahassee. And, you know, I think he'll do okay. I don't think it's going to be a complete tank. But I don't think it's going to be, I don't see him replicating what he did at Florida State, no.
So you think he's lost some of the passion in his football soul?
Yes. I saw him at the Aggie press conference, and any time that I've really heard him speak, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. I sat down with Jimbo Fisher 8 days before his first game at Florida State, right when we were starting Knowles 24/7. It was like 2 weeks before it launched, and I had an opportunity to go up there, and I sat in Jimbo's office for 2 hours, right across the desk from him, and he was just, it seems like ages ago, but he was just a different person, obviously, for, you know, and nothing's forever except for Nick Saban. But Jimbo Fisher had this attitude where he was coming in and he was stepping on necks, and it was, nobody was going to get in his way. And now it's all this robotic coach speak, and, you know, we'll see. If he can connect with those players, which it sounds like he is, just because, you know, that's what change brings, a new voice and all that. But if he can connect with his players, and something that he had lost at Florida State, then I think he can win. I just don't know how big he can win at Texas A&M.
Tell everybody about the Big Three roll-up. And has Kev come back yet or not?
Kev is not back yet. We're going to give – we addressed it on the last show, right at the opening, right off the top, that Kev is on a hiatus. We're going to keep his seat warm. I even said that if Kev isn't coming back, I don't know if I want to do the show anymore. I'm not, maybe not in the same capacity as a Big Three roll-up. I have no intentions of replacing Kev, so we're going to give him pretty much up until about when the Friday Night Lights and the summer recruiting camps start heating up. If he wants to take a break that long, then we're fine with it. So it's just me and Silk again tonight. I don't know who we're having on. We're working on a few people. Bill, keep your phone on. If those fall through, you're plan D.
I'll be around.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, Big Three roll up, 7 a.m. on Thursdays. We'll put something together. You guys will love it. And rate us 5 stars on iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever the heck you listen to your podcasts on.
Berg, we'll see you next week.
All right, Bill. See ya.